Hey friends, welcome back to Heretical Hippies, where Anna and Carrie Jo wander back into the wreckage of their deconstruction to see if they can offer hope to anyone else who might be climbing out of the dust and ashes of their faith. Buckle up, it's about to get real.
Hi, it's Anna.
And it's Carrie Jo.
Today we're talking about community, then versus now. So our first question is, what did community look like as a Christian? Carrie Jo, you have experience on two different continents with the church. So I'm really wanting to hear from you today.
Yeah. So first I'll speak to my experience within the church in the United States context. It was pretty consistent. You know, you go every Sunday, or if there's a Saturday service instead, whatever you prefer. And then there'd be a small group. And then, of course, there's women's ministries and MOPS, the mom of preschoolers and all that. So it was quite consistent for me, not unlike my experience overseas, honestly. That's a commonality between the two. Also, I would say it was a bit limited in my United States experience as far as diversity goes. I feel like we were a community that held all of the same beliefs. And so I wasn't exposed to Buddhists. I wasn't exposed to people practicing Hinduism. I was kind of taught to dismiss those in a way, or see that as a project or a mission field, right? To share the gospel and bring them to the, air quotes, the only way to God. So I feel like my experience was a bit limited in that regard. The support system was great. When you had a baby, somebody organized a meal thing. So if there was ever a time where you were recovering from a surgery, from giving birth, whatever it was, you were always provided for. There was somebody on it, somebody ahead of a committee or something, or part of your small group taking care of that. And it's funny because when we moved to Naples, it was kind of, you know, mid-COVID, and you were encouraged to still wear masks, and we weren't going to church because of that. And so it just took us forever to even consider finding a church, and we never really did. We shopped around, never really found one. And I remember distinctly having the thought, oh my gosh, what if Stephen or I get sick and we can't function? Who's going to bring us meals? Like, who's our community? Because we didn't have friends in our neighborhood yet either. So that was like very telling to me of the type of role that church community played in my life. Like it was a safety net. It was a support system. And I highly valued that. Now, on the mission field, it's very different in a lot of ways. You know, I was exposed to people from various backgrounds. I was not only exposed to people who generally hailed from Michigan somewhere. We had people from all over the world serving as missionaries. So I would say within the missionary community, there was a lot of diversity represented. And that was one of my favorite things about the experience, to be honest. Now, as far as support goes, I would say it was pretty similar, like extremely supportive. I feel like there was a little more emphasis on being supportive with mental health things while on the field, because missionaries experience trauma left and right. And there was a really healthy acknowledgement of that in the field that I served in. And I deeply appreciated that. And that is something that I feel like was lacking in my stateside experience within community. But yeah, as far as my experience goes, that's kind of what I have to reflect on. I know, Anna, you were really curious about my overseas experience. Did I tickle that itch? Do you have any other questions about it?
I think we'll probably, if you think of anything that you want to share in the rest of the questions, I'd love to hear if there was any significant differences between your experience in the U.S. versus Africa. I'm really curious to hear information about that. Definitely. Whatever you think is interesting or pertaining to what we're talking about, for sure.
So, Anna, I would love to hear about your personal experience with community.
Yeah, good question. It's so different. All that we've talked throughout our, you know, deconstructive process, it's so different than what you've experienced, and similar, obviously, in some ways too. But we always did home church, and we're talking small group, like in houses. actual home church where people are, I mean, there was no big church that we went to. There was no pastor. There was no worship team. There was no, you know, tithe bowl that went down the aisles. There was no aisles, you know?
Yeah.
So my husband and I mean, we, that's all we ever knew in our adult life was home church. And, but we did, we worshiped together. We studied, we discussed, we always ate together. We prayed, we debated. We sometimes we would assign someone to teach on a specific subject, or we would study and then come prepared to talk about our thoughts on that issue. And then that would just spark debate or, you know, conversation. Fellowship was really loose. I mean, there was no time limit other than we, you know, generally met at the same time every week. And we did a lot of things like go camping together, and we had block parties, and played games and went on retreats. We were part of a group of home churches that were all interconnected for a while. That wasn't always the case. We were part of a home church for a long time that was just kind of doing our own thing. And then we got involved with a network of home churches that every once in a while, once a month or every so often, we would get together with the elders from each of those home churches to kind of, I guess, in a way, the people that hosted and those elders, but also other people that were interested, just to discuss where we were at as a community and how we wanted to continue to propel ourselves forward and growing. So it was very different than I think what a lot of people have experienced in church in general. And I'm actually really thankful for it because it was a safe place for diversity. Like you were talking earlier,
mm-hmm.
It was a safe place for people to gather, and pretty much anyone could come. When I say pretty much, I mean, there were a couple of times where we had people come that were just trying to stir up trouble.
So
we would have to ask them to leave, you know, like that wasn't accepted. If it's unhealthy or abusive in any way, we had to ask them to leave. But, you know, because it wasn't a church building, which nowadays has security guards, right? Like it's a really free environment. So it was a really kind of we invited, in a way, you know, people from all walks of life to be present and to share their experience. And for the most part, we accepted pretty much everybody.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. But I will say that with a caveat, we were faced with quite a few situations where we didn't know what to do.
Mm.
Like we accepted them because we wanted to show them love, but we didn't necessarily know how to really, where the rubber meets the road, do that. Sometimes. So it was a learning process for everybody. So yeah, that's my experience with community. And like you said, we were there for each other. Like if somebody was in need, we didn't have a tithe bucket that went around every week. But if somebody was in need, there was a hat or a bucket or a shoe or whatever we had that got passed around, like, hey, so-and-so needs groceries. And then we'd all like pitch in what we could, or so-and-so needs help, you know, fixing their toilet. And, you know, a handful of guys would go over and do it, or whatever needed to be done. We donated a great deal of our resources, whether it be time, energy, or money, to helping each other often.
That is amazing. Honestly, that sounds like a beautiful kind of modern day picture of what the very early church looked like.
That was the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we went through a few different home churches throughout our years of being in the church, and it evolved over time. You know, there were seasons where it was messy, and there were seasons where we seemed to be all just floating on air.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I think the iron sharpening iron dynamic is really real in home church, because there's not the set structure. Like this person is doing worship, this person's teaching. It was, I mean, yeah, we had a routine and some idea of a structure, but it wasn't set in stone, and it wasn't, everybody came with the expectation that we were open to going with the flow if it needed to go a different direction, or if the Holy Spirit led us in a different way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. I love that your experience is so different from what mine was. Yet we find ourselves swimming in similar waters now.
Right.
That's so incredible to me. Thanks for sharing that. Now I have a follow-up question to that, because what you described honestly sounds freaking amazing. And I kind of feel like if that were my experience, I might not be where I am today.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to say. But that being said, what do you miss about it?
You know, when I said earlier that it got messy at times, like, I realized that some of the relationships that, speak for myself, had gotten so involved in each other's lives that my immaturity, I had become codependent instead of interdependent. So in my, like I said, in my immaturity, I realized that there were dynamics about it that if you're not prepared, it can be really hard to detach from the codependency of that without completely removing yourself, especially when you've walked out life with a lot of these people 20 years.
Right.
But what do I miss about it is the camaraderie, the connection with people, the regular, like I have regular connection with people now, but initially when I was deconstructing, that was really hard. But I do miss some aspects of the relationships that, like I said, the iron sharpening iron, the learning with others, you know, listening to different points of view on a regular basis and challenging each other, but also agreeing with people, you mm-hmm. know, that's always fun.
Yes.
When you find that you agree with people, and that it's so comforting to hear other people come alongside you and support you in ideas that you have.
Yeah, I would agree with what you're saying. The thing, actually, I have one in common, very much so. One thing that I miss was a shared focus. That's hard to find outside of a belief system. At least that's what I'm finding. It may not be hard for some people. Maybe they've found their people and, you know, fresh off of deconstruction, and they have a new crew. I don't know. But it's been tough. Yeah. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But the shared focus, the camaraderie, like you mentioned, similar beliefs. I mean, that automatically gives you something to talk about because you're all kind of speaking from the same space or same assumptions, maybe.
Oh,
yeah. And you know, that's beautiful, and that is fun. But at the same time, now that I think about it, I don't want to use the word lazy, but it's not challenging, let's say. Lazy is not the right word, but it's not a challenging way to live or engage with people. And I think we can learn so much from people who don't share our beliefs if we're willing to. You know,
right.
That's the first part. But yeah, those are my thoughts on what I miss. One other thing that I really miss are the potlucks.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I love food. I love not having to make all the food. So to show up with one dish and then have like 28 things you get to choose from. Come on, man. That's like a little slice of heaven there.
It really is.
I say that laughingly, but like I genuinely deeply miss that.
Yeah. It's fun. Every single time we got together to have quote unquote church, home church, we ate, and we did it all different types of things. We did potlucks. And for a while we did one family was in charge for one potluck or one meal every 6 or 8 weeks. A lot of weeks you would come, you wouldn't have to bring anything. You
nice.
Would just show up. It was so nice. Now a lot of times we focused on salads and healthy stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've been to some potlucks at other churches and that, you know, put a few pounds on you in one meal, you know.
I know, the good old mac and cheese or like scalloped potatoes.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Good times for sure.
Yes.
So, like, clearly our walk as Christians was not fraught with pain, you know.
No, there are amazing highlights and things that I deeply miss about it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Same. So one of the things that we're talking about today, obviously, is community. So there are people from that part of my life that I have no longer have communication with or relationship with, but there are also people that I have kept in touch with. So my next question is, what does that look like for you and for me, this new journey that we're on? What does it look like to stay in touch with, communicate with, and be friends with people from what seems like a different lifetime?
Yeah, that's so interesting because for me, I feel like it's multifaceted. There are people I'm in contact with from my former life that are a little bit non-negotiable, like my family members. And there are also people from my former Christian life that just seasonally, you know, I'm not in their life, they're not in mine. And so just by way of normal life circumstances, we're no longer in contact. I mean, there's so many categories, I feel like, for me. Sure. There are also people that have journeyed with me kind of into deconstruction a little bit, but then I realized very quickly that they were not safe people to engage with anymore. And so I had to, you know, draw a boundary. And I would say we're still friends, but we're just not in each other's lives. And then there are people who kind of were along for the ride the whole time, even though I wouldn't have labeled myself as deconstructing. But I now looking back, know that I definitely was. And so I was processing a lot of that stuff with these few people, and they have remained. And I think it's because, you know, I've thought about this, like my theory is because they didn't have a huge stark compare and contrast Carrie Jo pre-deconstruction, you know, mid-deconstruction, post, I don't think you're ever post-deconstruction, but you know what I mean. Like, I feel like there was no standard for them to measure me up against my former self. So that's, I think, why, you know, those few relationships still remain. Now, all that being said, my husband obviously has been along the ride for the whole shebang. And, you know, he hasn't gone anywhere. He has a huge compare and contrast of KJ then, KJ now. But we've journeyed together a lot in that way, too. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't give tips on how to remain friends with people from your past, like, Christian experience. I think it really depends on the dynamic of the relationship, how safe you are in their presence to be yourself, to question, to just be your new self. And it's super tough. I mean, it's tough to navigate. So I just want to encourage anyone who feels like they're losing people left and right. Unfortunately, that's not uncommon in the deconstruction space, but just be encouraged that there are people, even from your former Christian days, who will reach out to you and say, hey, I have questions, because I've had so many people from the mission field, from my college days when I was like hardcore evangelist. I mean, people that were swimming in the same waters as me reaching out to me and saying, oh my gosh, what do I do? I'm in the middle of it. I'm unraveling everything. This sucks. So it's interesting too, Anna, to look at it and see that, wow, there are people from that former life of mine who find themselves in a similar situation. And that's kind of why I'm here. That's why I want to do the podcast. That's why I want to share very openly on social media. People need a light to come home to. People need to know that there's somebody on their side when they feel super alone. So that's my little soapbox moment on deconstruction. Yeah. And I'm here for you, people.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I agree. It is a multifaceted question. It's like so many different angles you can come at navigating past relationships. And same thing. I mean, I can just say ditto to everything you just said, because I have some friends that weren't healthy and our relationship wasn't healthy. And we just cut things off. And then I have some friends that have since continued their Christian walk. We just are going different ways. And then others that we are processing our own deconstruction with, or they're, you know, we're talking more about, more and more of my friends are deconstructing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this before. It's just more and more people are going through this. And I think that's why it's such a hot topic right now, because everybody's going through it. Mm-hmm. And I say everybody, I use that word loosely, but
yeah. Lots.
Right, a lot of people. And my husband and I were talking the other day about how many of our friends do we know that have not deconstructed? And it's a lower number than the ones that have deconstructed.
Wow.
So yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
That really is, because I would not echo that sentiment for my experience.
Wow.
But I mean, okay, to be fair, I was serving overseas on the mission field. Like, that's where a lot of my, mm-hmm. you know, contacts come from. So, yeah, that's an interesting contrast.
It is. And that's, everybody's story is going to be different. You know, some people are going to need to make a really cut and dry, like, break, you know?
Right.
And some people are going to need to, like, we've talked about this before so many times, like, your process, however you choose to do it. And this is something I was really encouraged by Naked Pastor on Instagram. He was just like, there's no wrong way to do this.
Right.
And it was really encouraging. And that's what Carrie and I, Joe and I really want to get across today, is there's no wrong way. do this. This is just our story. And maybe some part of our story will connect with where you're at or encourage you or give you some ideas. That would be my hope.
Yes. So much freedom.
Absolutely. So after coming out of community that are former communities, it took a while for me to adjust, like you said, like, who's going to bring me meals now? Yes. You know? And things like, it took me a while to adjust. And I felt alone for a season. I think that's normal for anytime you deconstruct, every person, you're probably going to feel like the season of isolation in a way. Maybe not so much for future deconstructors because there's so many of us now, but
that's amazing.
It is. It really is. But it's, I guess for me, after I came out, I started rethinking what does community look like, hence the episode we're doing today. So my next question is, have you, Carrie Jo, found community or camaraderie or connection with a new group, or what does that look like for you now?
Yeah, honestly, I'm still very much working on that. And a large part due to the fact that I moved mid deconstruction. And so whenever you move and relocate, it takes time to develop community. And so that kind of colors my experience quite a bit. But I would say I am being intentional about seeking out opportunities to be engaged in activities that I enjoy, because chances are good that the other people that are at that activity also enjoy it. Okay. So automatically there's a shared interest. Because I can see now how building my community entirely based on shared beliefs wasn't the healthiest due to my beliefs changing. So now that built-in community is no longer there. And that's a huge bummer, to be very honest. It's a bummer. But I'm trying to build community in a way that can sustain shifts in my mind, shifts in my understanding of reality. Such as, like, I'll give examples. Currently, I'm attending a breathwork session every other week, and I actually really connect with the teacher and his wife. They are really amazing people, and I've enjoyed hanging out with them. I went to a party with them. That is a whole different story. It's hilarious. But anyway,
really look forward to hearing that.
Maybe off the mic, I'll tell you. Okay. No, but anyway, it's all on the up and up. It was fine. But that being said, like, it was really cool to be invited to a party. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have friends. And that connection continues to grow. Some other places that I get some camaraderie is my son's diving team, the club. I'm actually part of it. I am training to be in a dive meet in March. So, well, this might come out after March. But anyway, that has been super fun. And it's all a bunch of teenagers, but I love teenagers. Like, I feel like a peer on so many levels with them. And that has provided me with camaraderie and something I really look forward to every week. These are like very different avenues that I'm experiencing community. So it's kind of funny. I have one neighbor that I'm really good friends with. We hang out, not infrequently, but she has younger kids and I'm chasing mine around. So, you know, it's a little harder to connect, but we just have a lot in common and I really love hanging out with her. And then the yoga community. I sub for a teacher who teaches on the beach, and the people that come to the classes, you know, they're regulars. I see them. I love reconnecting with them. Sometimes I get coffee with some of them outside of class, and that's been fun and like a little bright spot here and there for me. But as far as like deep, profound, shared lives community, I have yet to find an avenue to that. And I'm hopeful that will come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is hard to frame that type of connection in a dive lesson.
Right.
And so it's like, church is really unique in that way.
Yes.
You know? It's set up so that when you come in, that's the expectation from everybody. When I seem to like be connecting with somebody, sometimes I like to throw out a really deep question just to see what happens. You know?
Yeah. Can you give us an example of a question? Put you on the spot.
Sure. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your spiritual journey in life?
Nice.
That's a really good one, actually.
It is a good one.
Do you mind sharing with me more about your story? I'd love to hear more about who you really are.
Yeah.
You know? Sometimes even asking simple questions like, what inspires you in life, is a really good way just to open up a door.
Mm-hmm.
The discussion doesn't even have to stay about what inspires you in life. You know?
Right. That's like, not the point.
Right. That's exactly. The point is just opening a door.
Yeah.
So for me, my family has become my community in that way. Like we have family meetings and we talk almost daily about life and about things going on. So that deep connection is with my children and my husband at this point. I do have a few friends that I keep in touch with from quote unquote past life, mostly long distance through Marco Polo or video chat or just phone calls. And there's a few friends that I have, actually probably about four or five friends that I have that I really just covet their continuation in my life. They're have also deconstructed and they're all going in very different directions with their spiritual walk, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like that diversity in my life. You know, I like having people that are all kind of walking this next step out really differently.
Yeah.
And then as far as people close by, I have a couple of friends, really one close by, that is still a Christian, and we just love talking and we've maintained our friendship, and she and I are very walking out our faith, our life very differently, but we enjoy continuing to connect on the things that we agree on and then discussing sometimes the things that we are different about where we're at. It's still a work in progress. I don't think I can be 100% vulnerable and honest with her about everything, but I respect the need for this being more of a gracious process in our relationship.
Yeah, that's amazing that you found somebody who's able to hold space for that tension.
Right.
You know, like recognizing that there are things you connect on, but there are also things that you don't connect on, but allowing for that. I think that's really hard for a lot of Christians to allow for that tension to be there.
Right. And I think the thing that helps in this particular situation is she is not a typical Christian in her walk.
Mm.
And so we can relate on that. And I also am really wanting to be just very gentle and not try to be like, oh, that's a stupid idea.
Right. It's not going to usually get you very far.
No, it's not. But we really enjoy just each other. And I think that's helped. We're growing in how this looks, what this looks like. So
yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So we're talking a lot about what friendships and camaraderie look like now. You know, it's gone from being in a very specific place and being mostly agreeing on a lot of issues about what we believe to very diverse and finding connections in, you know, breathwork retreats or dive meets or on Marco Polo or wherever. Like, I think we're at this point where we're going to get it wherever we get it, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, as you mentioned that, like how diverse the connection points in our lives can be, I think that's actually pretty reflective of us as souls, right? Like we are multifaceted people.
Mm-hmm.
So to be limited to one source of connection seems a little bit silly to me as I think about that. Like, why wouldn't I connect with people at a breathwork session and also at a dive practice? Like, why am I not connecting with everyone everywhere I go? Like, we are all connected. And to just take the moment to acknowledge that, I think for me has been helpful to realize I am more deeply connected than I kind of give reality credit for.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like for a while, it was like, what about community? What am I going to do? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is indicative of the brainwashing that religion has over us make us believe that that is it. And that was the codependency I was talking about earlier, that any relationship outside of that pales in comparison to what you have with the community at your church.
Yes.
And I don't think that anyone, at least in my church, intentionally meant for that to be the message, but I think the church in general encourages that. And, you know, even though I had home church as an adult, and I'm thankful for that experience, and I wouldn't change it for anything. Growing up, I mean, and even outside of that home church environment, I still have family and friends that are involved in the bigger church at large, more, you know, organized religion.
Right.
I didn't really see home church as being very overly organized, but yeah, so I still have those influences. And from growing up in and out of the church, and having family members in the church. So yeah, when we ask the question, what are we looking for now in a community? It's really just like we talked about. It's just connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I realize that now as we're talking about it, like, it doesn't have to look anyway.
Right.
It's just, I just love connecting with people.
Same. I like talking to the cashier at the grocery store, asking them how their day has been. Like, that's a beautiful little highlight of connection for my day. And I guess maybe I have ill-conceived expectations of community. I don't know why that can't be part of my community.
Right. Exactly.
Just little isolated experiences. It doesn't have to be a let's, air quotes, do life together. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
that's part of my life. Getting groceries is part of my life.
Listen.
And so why can't talking to the cashier, you know, that's just kind of a silly example I came up with, but why can't that be part of my communal experience?
Yeah,
It is. Yes. And it's, yeah, it's so cool to reframe. I mean, I'm just like off the fly realizing this. It's so cool to reframe community in that way. I think I've been thinking very narrowly about community,
mm-hmm.
and very specifically, like, it has to fit this description, but it doesn't. It can be described however I want it to. It's my community experience.
Yeah. And it's beautiful that way, I think.
Yes.
It also leaves a lot of room for just experiencing life in a much broader and more inclusive way. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the ways that I attempt to connect and continue to experience a type of community in life is trying new things.
Yeah.
And so you were talking about earlier, like, you go to all these different functions and you're connecting with people where you're there. And I'm like, for me, it's like, I want to experience, what is it like to be at a sangha? What is it like to go to a yoga class? What is it like to, these are things that I've been doing for a while, but I'm just throwing out, like, at one point I hadn't done those things. And even I went to a Qigong seminar, like a series of Qigong classes at the park once. And it was something I'd never experienced before. And I actually was uncomfortable. When I first went, I was like, I'm very interested. I want to learn. And yeah, I can go home and just pull up some YouTube videos. But I want to see real people and experience what Qigong looks like in a group.
That's so cool.
And it was beautiful. It was life-changing for me. I took what I learned and I met some really beautiful people who are, you know, walking out their experience very differently than mine, but beautiful people nonetheless that I could learn from. And I was able to bring home that experience and use it. And I've been doing Qigong for years now as a result, and it's changed my life. I love it.
That's amazing. I'm glad you shared that example, because I feel like as we grow into our adulthood, we find patterns, we find things that work for us. And that's a very normal, natural part of living and, you know, finding routines. But it's so important to be challenged as well. And I mean, that's how our brain continues to grow, and we keep our minds healthy and active and, like, with a beginner's mindset about things. Learn something new, go to something that might scare you a little bit. I think that's so important just for our general health of keeping things fresh. Just toss something new in there every now and then. And you never know, it might change your life, like you with Qigong, you know. And who would have known? You might not have guessed that before you went to that. But now it's a really important part of your practice. And I'm so glad you went. I'm glad you went out on a limb and tried something new.
Yeah. Me too. And it's funny because there is a cult within that group the Qigong practitioners, it is a religion to a great deal of them. Not all people practice the religion of it, but and so in one way, I was kind of put off by it, you know, like mm-hmm. I was like very guarded as a result.
Sure.
But it also gave myself a lot of credit and said, Anna, you've gone through enough. You've experienced enough to be able to handle going into this setting and properly acknowledging what's going on based on the wisdom you have now, and then stepping away and taking what you need out of it and then leaving the rest.
Yes. You
know? And there was a long time in my life where I felt like I wasn't capable of doing something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that I gave myself that credit. And as a result, my confidence increased and my experience in this life of different ways of thinking and cultures has expanded.
Yeah. There's something to be said for getting older and having more life experience and just having that deep-seated wisdom. It's a beautiful thing to practice and to apply. And like you said, it kind of gives you an attagirl, like a pat on the back, like, yes, I can do this. I can do this with an open mind, but also being fully aware of the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the last question that we'll I want to go into is, I'm going to change it on you here, Carrie Jo.
Yeah, that's cool.
What type of person do you want to be at this point? I know that sounds different than community, but I think it's connected. And I think we probably already answered it. But what type of person do you want to be from this point forward? What does community look like? What is your hope for the future? How do we want to evolve?
I want to be a fully open, always ready to learn from others individual that creates a space of safety for others to be exactly who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I mean, that's just part of kind of who I am anyway. That's been a priority for me always. And I think it will play out very differently outside of the Christian context because of, I'm pulling from a larger pool of individuals that I might connect with. So that's kind of the atmosphere I want to create just by being who I am and being loving and accepting. And I can't tell what type of community that will create. I think it's going to take time to continue to build that. But my hopes would be that it attracts a really diverse group of people that if I were to throw a pool party someday, the people that show up are all over the place as far as professions or belief systems or gender identity or sexuality. Like, I want a beautiful rainbow of people in my life to open my eyes to see and understand their experiences and also to make mine richer. And yeah, that's my hope in a nutshell.
It's beautiful.
How about you?
I mean, yeah, ditto. And that I would be a magnet for good people that challenge and inspire me. That I would have a presence that would invite people to be themselves mm-hmm. around me and even vulnerable. I mean, I just, you know, I'm sure you've seen that girl that does big questions. She's been on YouTube and Instagram. And anyway, she's just challenging people to stop asking, like, stop the small talk. It's actually big talk. That's what it is, big talk. And it's so beautiful what she's doing. She's taking these, you know, beautiful questions out and just inspires people to just get out there and ask deeper questions and open up to people and ask people to open up to you. And it doesn't take much. You know, if you're on YouTube enough and follow people like this that are interviewing people on the streets, you'll find most people want to open up.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It really is. So I love the experience of being able to connect with people on deeper levels in that way. And I just want to continue to grow in how I am able to express that to the people around me and also in the space that I create for those people.
Yeah, that's a beautiful note to end on. Our hopes and dreams for the future with connection through community. And hopefully all of our listeners can be encouraged or challenged in some way of creating and developing a community for yourselves. As always, Anna and I are available. You can reach out to us. You can go to the Heretical Hippie Instagram page, happy to converse with you, maybe even connect you with other people that we think you might vibe with. And yeah, until then, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Well, friends, that wraps up this heretical episode. Thanks for listening, and be sure to rate and review our podcast and share with anyone who would be encouraged. See you next time.